It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Welcome again, Martin, to the show.
Thanks, Caesar.
Now, you say that the world's biggest technology companies are collaborating to access 100 million ounces of gold at a depth to which humans have never, ever ventured before.
You know, it's very encouraging that AngloGold Ashanti, South Africa's biggest gold mine, is not saying, because with conventional methods of mining, we can't get down to 5 kilometers. We're just going to leave that gold there. They're saying, no, there's 100 million ounces of gold resource down there. Let's put the world's biggest brains together and let's make sure we get down there safely. And this is what's happening behind the scenes now. Some of the world's biggest engineering names, and I'm talking about, you know, General Electric of the United States, DuPont, 3M, 30 companies coming together, 80 participants already at 2 major workshops, going to have another big one on February the 14th and 15th to make sure that we can unlock this gold treasure. And going down to those depths often means they're better grades. Yeah. So it would be lunacy not to do it. But there's going to be some big changes. And I mean already, they're saying blasting is going to be a thing of the past.
Really?
Blasting will be out because blasting actually inhibits our activities. When you blast, people have got to get out of the mine. When they want to get back out of the mine, there's still fumes there. And it creates seismicity, which leads to problems with safety. So they want to stop all blasting. They want to create peopleless stopes. Now, those stopes are the vulnerable areas. That is where the human being meets the rock face. That's where there's a lot of danger. They don't want any people there. And what they're so surprised about is that they can possibly get mining rock around the clock. Now, remember that great song, Rock Around the Clock. This is what they're looking for because, you know, we only get about 9 hours of activity. We're not. So it's going to change the face of mining. If they can clinch this, and the people behind it are huge. They're not going to fail.
Are we talking about new technologies here or just bringing different technologies? Are we going to be, again, seeing the first of this kind of thing being done in the world?
The beauty of this is that a lot of these technologies come off the shelf. It's a matter of reapplying them, rethinking, and they use modern, what they call, they quickly eliminate things that are not going to work. They can do that with the modern researchers. And so they're quite surprised at the extent to which mechanical rock cutting technology has advanced.
Wow. Well, South Africa's Northern Cape has been selected for a 100 million rand project to break the world land speed. What is this about?
Well, you know, in winter in the Northern Cape, 2012, a team that already is involved with the world record, they set it 14 years ago in Black Rock in Nevada. They want to reset it now big time. It'll be a 31% jump if they can do it to go 1,000 miles an hour.
Good Lord.
On land. And that's 1,600 kilometers an hour. But they need the right venue. And we've been blessed. The Northern Cape. there were 35 sites on the short list. And one would think, well, they set their record. You know, in 1997, they went 1,220 kilometers an hour at Black Rock in Nevada. You think they go back there? They said, no, too bumpy. Too bumpy. And you'd think that they'd look at maybe Lake Eyre in Australia, where a lot of this has happened. You'd think they'd even go back to Vineyard, where in 1929, you know, Malcolm Campbell came out to our northern Cape, and he failed to break the 370 kilometer barrier. Then it But instead, they've gone 400 kilometers up to Hakstienpan. And this could just put us on the map where they say that it's sufficiently flat and firm to consider setting the next land speed record at 1,600 kilometers an hour using a horsepower which is equal to 180 Formula One racing cars. And, you know, they're looking to get from naught to 1,600 kilometers in 42 seconds. This is faster than a bullet coming out of a Magnum. The Northern Cape could be the benefit. Why are they doing all this?
Yes, I was going to ask you, what is
it's a 100 million rand project. It's all related to the bad performance of British kids in maths, reading and science.
No.
They dropped to number 28 in the world. South Africa, of course, didn't even take part, so I don't know where we would have ended.
Never mind.
And who went to the top? China, South Korea, Singapore, and Finland. So a lot of the Northern Cape schools, 50 Northern Cape schools, have now thrown their weight behind this, and they will benefit from what comes out of this engineering adventure taking place in South Africa's Northern Cape.
Well, we'll still benefit from Britain here. Well, the last one here, 100% black-owned flexible plastic packaging film producer is embarking on a 500 million rand expansion program to substitute imports.
Exactly. And we're looking now at Cesar Malabatsi, and he knows as much, if not more, about this than I know, because although Cesar is an illustrious AM Live radio talk show host, there's also a business side to Cesar with his Empower investments. And I can say that this company now, and FEMA is the name of the company, has quite a lot of promise. And we see that Cesar here with his Empower has got 62.5% of this. And the rest is by a very impressive CEO, Patrick Munyambata.
That's right.
And they want to take this company to great heights. And it has South African significance. You know, we've seen, Cesar, that our textile industry has been tanked, you know, it's been badly damaged. We don't want this to happen as well to our plastic sector. And this is a very important part of the flexible plastic packaging film, because if I just draw your attention to, you know, this is an ubiquitous material. Mm. Not only is it going to the big names like Nampak and Astropak, but it's then converted into very attractive packaging, and we see it every day on our shelves, you know, by Simba and by Nestle and by AVI and all the rest. So this is an initiative here now by FEMA to actually inject new life into what was an ailing sector. And that's bad because we've got the raw material coming in from Sasol and Safripol. We should put this to good use. Now, there are two lines at FEMA, and you know this well, Cesar, producing, but only about a third of what is required in South Africa, you know, with imports coming in on the two-thirds. So the story here is that FEMA is going to put in a third production line, which will be a commodity film plastic packaging filmmaking line, with their eye not only on substituting all our imports that are coming in here. It's only going to happen around about the first quarter of 2013. And in the meantime, they will make use of the strong rand to import to get a bigger market share, but also looking at Africa, where you see things happening in East Africa, and look at Nigeria, where the demand is huge.
Well, Martin, thank you so much. And, of course, we would like to be watching this space, and hopefully one day we'll do an after-eight debate on just engineering and or manufacturing sector breakthroughs in South Africa that will make this country great. But again, that's Martin Creamer, who's the publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thanks, Cesar.